Good evening, everyone. It's brilliant. I even haven't even had the chance to say hello yet, which is just amazing. I'm just going to grab the lectern and my Bible. Apologies for running off in the worship. I realised I'd locked my notes in the photocopying room, so I had to go and get them quick. So, tonight we are looking at the theme of judgment. Now, I had a plan for this service. All right, I was thinking it's Halloween tomorrow, and and light party on Saturday, yesterday. So I thought, going into our post planning meeting, oh no, we'll do something about darkness and light. We'll do something about, like, you know, Jesus being light of the world. I got to the post planning meeting and I prayed. But before I could throw in what I thought, I just said, is there anything anyone thinks that God might be asking us to talk about? At which point, one person who shall remain nameless, Genevieve, said, judgment. And I was like, oh, I've got like 3 days to put this together. Judgment is a really difficult one. But as we kind of talked about it, as we looked at it, it was clear that actually it seemed God was telling us to talk about judgment here. And actually, it was really amazing when I started to think about it. I was thinking, why would you guys want to talk about judgment? Like, we started talking, we were talking more about judgment of others. But I was like, why would you want to talk about judgment? And then as I started thinking about it, I thought, actually, our popular culture is absolutely crammed full with judgment. We do it all the time. Let's look at the massive TV shows on at the moment. The Great British Bake Off, X Factor, Strictly. Yeah, you love that, Tim. You know, The Apprentice, MasterChef Australia. Come on, that's way better than MasterChef in the UK. Anyway, all these different shows, they all have one thing in common. At the very heart of them is somebody or a group of people judging other people. Judgment is huge in our popular culture. And so I thought it was amazing that you guys thought about talking about judgment. Because, yes, let's have a look at what God has to say about judgment, about what Jesus has to say about judgment. So we do judge people all the time, but the question, I guess, is, should we? So let's turn, if you've got a Bible, to Matthew 7. That's where we're going to start off. And we're going to look at verse 1. So we're kind of looking at the idea, should we be involved in these TV shows? Should we judge other people? Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Verse 1. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? Do not judge, or you too will be judged. But it sounds so easy, it sounds so simple, but actually there's something more going on here. Jesus is talking to his disciples at this point. And there's different types of judgment. I will argue that there's different types of judgment. In this case, what Jesus was arguing or talking to his disciples about was the fact that they were judging other people's guilt. They were going around and they were looking at other people and saying, look at this person, they are guilty, I'm not like that. They were judging other people's guilt. They were judging where that person or where they thought that person was going to spend their eternal life. They were judging people's guilt, judging where they were going to end up. And Jesus comes into that situation, talking to his disciples and says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. And then Jesus, it's kind of like an opposite to what he did earlier. Earlier in this passage, or earlier in Matthew, he's talking on the Sermon on the Mount. I think it's earlier. It might be later, actually. Anyway, he says, blessed are the merciful, for they will show mercy. But here he says practically the opposite. Do not judge, or cursed are the judgmental, for they will be judged. It's a really important thing we have to get a hold of. Do not judge, or you'll be judged. And then Jesus gives this brilliant example. Okay, now I'm sure his illustration here is born of the fact that he was a carpenter. Now, I'm not a carpenter, and I don't know too many carpenters. So what I thought we'd do is try and update it. I don't want to add to scripture, obviously, because it's perfect, but I want to kind of bring it into our modern day. So I've got two volunteers who are going to come and help me. So Tim and Tom are coming up. Come up, boys. Yeah, you can give him a clap if you want. Tom's got a speaking part, so I'm going to give that to him. Okay, so this is essentially the picture that Jesus draws. So I've got a little cupcake here. Tim, stand still. Lovely. Okay, Tom, stand still. And Tom has something to say.
Tim, you've got a bit of stuff on your face.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tim. Give him a round of applause. Thank you. I forgot to get you a towel, Tom. Sorry about that. You just have to lick yourself through this service. just move past that, please. So, yes, That is essentially the illustration Jesus gives. It is just brilliant. I love the way he blows it out of all proportion to show us how ridiculous it is. But his example is like a carpenter. He says, why do you look for the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your eye? Or in this case, why do you pay attention to the frosting on Tim's face when there's a cake on your nose? You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. But what Jesus is trying to get across is that when it comes to judging others, if we look for the moment, those little sins, that little guilt in somebody else's life, it's nothing compared to what is on our face. It's nothing compared to what is in our eye. And Jesus isn't saying that that person's sin is worse than our sin. But what Jesus is saying is that person's sin is far less dangerous than the sin of having a judgmental heart. It's far less dangerous because their sin, that guilt that you might see in them, it could be solved with just a small amount of repentance or just, a time of thinking about themselves and thinking what they've done. Whereas the judgmental heart is actually far more serious because in that, we've pushed out our love for our neighbor. We've pushed out mercy and we've started to grow pride and arrogance. Because when we have that judgmental heart, what we're actually saying is, look at that person over there that's done that wrong. I'm better than that because I haven't done that. That's what our heart is truly saying. And when we have a heart like that, it's far more dangerous than any other sin because it leads to pride and it leads to a place where if we judge, we're cursed and we are judged. Does that make sense? So, judge, do not judge or you will be judged. Now, that seems very simple, doesn't it? But if we now go to Matthew 18, verse 15. Jesus starts to talk about another situation where it seems it's right to judge. It goes like this. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Now, in that situation, it doesn't mention judgment, but it is judgment, isn't it? It's very similar to the situation we just saw, where you see something wrong and you go and tell them. But there is a massive amount of difference between the first set of judgment and the second set. On the one hand, on the first hand, we've got judgment over somebody's guilt, over what they've done, over where they're going. Judgment that is born of a heart of pride and arrogance. Whereas here, there's many differences. One is it's when he sins against you. It's almost like Jesus saying, when somebody does something against you, you automatically judge because they've done it to you, so how can you not? But in that place, if that's gone wrong, you go and talk to them. And you do it not out of sense of, I'm better than you, and so I want to point this out. But you do it because you want to help them be better. You know, Tom's example of his audition, that judgment of Tom wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. It was good because Tom was good. But it also wasn't bad because they weren't saying, Tom, you're guilty of being rubbish. They were there to try and see how good he was. And then if he'd have fallen short, which he didn't because he's amazing, round of applause. If he'd fallen short, they would have found ways to help him be better. You know, you said you'd done a lot of auditions, Tom. Did it make you better? Exactly. It helped him get better. And that was the aim behind it, was not to make him feel rubbish, to make them feel better because they're better than him, but it was to make him better at the end of the day. And this is what Jesus is saying here. If your brother sins against you, if he does something wrong and you judge him for it, go and tell him. But not out of, you're wrong, I'm right, but out of, I want to help you be more like Jesus. I want to help you get to that place. I want to help you be better. It's such a difficult line to follow. It's such a difficult thing to choose between those two. You know, we shouldn't judge, but on the other hand, we sometimes have the opportunity to help our brother and sister be better, and that seems to involve judgment. And so it's really hard, but Jesus gives us how we can do this sensibly, how we can do this safely in chapter 7 again. After talking about judgment, after talking about all this stuff that we've just mentioned, he then goes on and says, ask, seek, knock. And I believe he's talking about this judgment of others. If you are in this place and you feel like you have to say something, then first of all, ask God, what do you want me to do, God? If you start in that place, then your heart is going to be in the right place. You're not going to have this judgmental heart, or you're going to guard against it a little bit at least. Seek. So it's not just ask God for something, but it's actually go actively looking for what he's saying about it. You know, so often we do just sort of say, God, guide me, and then that's it. We leave it. Whereas actually it's saying, ask him, but then go actively looking in his word. Go looking for the counsel around you, like friends that are Christians. What should you do? And then knock. You know, knock's a bit more difficult. I was thinking about what to say for knock, but in Revelation it does talk about Jesus knocking on the door. And I think it's fireworks, don't panic. And I think it's talking here, when it says ask, we ask. When it says seek, we look for the answer. When it says knock, it's a case of letting God do what he wants to do. You know, it's all very well. Sometimes we know the way we need to go, and then we don't do it. It's about asking, it's about looking for it, and it's about doing it. But then Jesus gives us the golden rule. All right, if you get nothing else from this little talk, take this away. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. When it comes to judging others, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you want to be judged on your appearance, judge other people on their appearance. If you want to be judged by the things that you say, by the things that you do, without any thought to what's inside, then do that for other people. But if you want to have mercy and acceptance from people, then show it. And I know what you're thinking, you know, it's all very well if I do it, but nobody else does it. But, you know, we have to quote Gandhi, you have to be the change that you want to see in the world. If you want to see more people living like that, then you have to start living like that. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is a really, really difficult topic, and I just want to, you know, I've sped through it, really, because it's a difficult one and it's a bit scary. But one last thing I kind of want to say when it comes to judging others is that whether we do it in the right way, we looked at in chapter 18, or whether we do it the wrong way in chapter 7, either way that we judge others, we will always miss the mark. Always. Because we are not the perfect judge. We are broken by our humanity. We are, you know, we are flawed because of our human logic. We are not the perfect judge, and we never can. We will always miss the mark. Because there is only one perfect judge, and that's God. He's the only one, and his judgment is absolutely flawless. And he doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. You know, we can look like we're doing the right thing with the right motivation, but God can see our hearts and can see if we're not in the right place. It's like those jelly beans. They look like they're okay, but then sometimes when you take them, they're absolutely not. I still taste dog food. It's disgusting. God is the only perfect judge. And you know what? There will come a day, and this is my final thought, but it is something we need to keep in mind the whole time when we're thinking about this judgment of others and whether we should or shouldn't. We need to keep in mind this, that one day we will be judged. One day I will be judged by the perfect judge, by God. I will be absolutely and completely judged, and I will be found wanting. Without a doubt, I will be found to be failed, to have missed the mark. I will fail in that judgment. But the rightful punishment that should be mine, that would be given to me for the things I've done wrong, was instead placed on Jesus. Which means, and that was done already. That's already been done. So that punishment, that judgment that I will face and the punishment will be handed out has been given to Jesus. And I have been shown mercy. Unbelievable, undeserved mercy. So when it comes to judging others, I have to keep that in the front of my mind, that I have been shown mercy. So who am I to not show mercy? Jesus even told a story that I wanted to go into, but we haven't really got time, where it was all about a servant who was forgiven a massive debt, but then went and quibbled with another servant over just pennies. And we can be like that servant, or we can look and realize how much we've been forgiven, how much mercy has been given to us. And then when we come to that place of judgment, remember mercy. Do not judge, or you will be judged. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you don't treat us as our failings deserve, that you will one day judge us, but you have placed that punishment upon your son. You choose to see us as blameless because of him. Lord, that we have been shown such mercy, and we pray you would help us in our culture that is focused on judgment of how we look, of how we sound, of how we are. Lord, we pray you would help us to remember mercy. You would help us to be a people that are different, that treat others as we wish to be treated. God, make us a different generation, we pray.